I'm excited about the opportunity to share with you from Matthew chapter number 27 this morning, and we're continuing our study through the book of Matthew. And we've been preaching a long time through Matthew. I don't get bored with it because it seems like every time I begin to take on a new section of Scripture, there's new wonderful truth that applies to my heart, and I'm so thankful that I get to preach God's Word. Matthew chapter number 27, and we're entering into the last two chapters of this book of the Bible, the first book of the New Testament. Beginning in our reading this morning, Matthew 27, verse number 1, the Bible says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.' And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou sayest.' And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, 'Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?' And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, 'Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?' For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, 'Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, 'Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?' They said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate saith unto them, 'What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?' They all say unto him, 'Let him be crucified.' And the governor said, 'Why, what evil hath he done?' But they cried out the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.' When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.' Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." And we come to this passage of Scripture, and what a fascinating story. The subject matter that's covered here in this passage of Scripture, it begins with, in the morning, they've taken Jesus, the chief priests and elders, they've taken him by mob. But within his own will, they couldn't possibly bind the Savior. They took him by mob, and the night has passed, and the morning has come, and the chief priests and elders have gathered again, trying to figure out, how in the world are we going to be able to put him to death? How can we kill him? How can we kill Jesus? And they come up with a plan. Their plan is, let's take him to Rome. Let's take him to Pilate. The Romans had taken away the Jews' opportunity for capital punishment, all according to God's plan, because he prophesied that Jesus would be crucified. They take him to Pilate, a leader of the Romans. Pilate is a governor, and he really sees no fault in him, but they have a little trial. Pontius Pilate hears the testimony of the Jews, and he understands that the chief priests and elders are just jealous of Jesus. Pontius Pilate hears the word, and in his heart knows he's not guilty of anything. But in an act of political expedience, Pontius Pilate says, I know what I can do. There's a notable criminal, Barabbas. He is a robber. He's a vile man. Everybody knows him. No one likes him. He says, since it's the feast time, and historically I've offered and been willing to free one of the Jewish prisoners at this priest time, he says, I know what to do. Surely they'll not want some low-life robber running free. He said, I'm just going to give him a choice. He said, I'm going to take away the need for me to make the decision. I'm just going to give him a choice. I'm going to let him choose. I'll let him choose between Barabbas, a robber, or Jesus. You know, Pilate was no fool, and he hadn't been blindfolded to what all Jesus had been doing during his earthly ministry. Pilate thought, surely the Jews as a whole will choose Jesus over Barabbas. Barabbas a robber, Jesus. Yeah, the one that had brought sight to the blind, healed the lame, preached peace, raised the dead, fed the multitudes. Pilate said, well, surely if I give them a choice, they'll choose Jesus as over Barabbas, surely. But we all know the story. The chief priests and elders, so full of rage and envy and self and worldliness, the yearning for power in this life, they convinced the multitude to choose Barabbas as opposed to Jesus. It's a haunting section of Scripture to me. If you look in your Bible with me, in verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Look what the Bible says, verse 23, the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. It's so sad to see, but when given an option, Judas, the chief priest, the elders, Pilate, they all chose Barabbas over Jesus. They chose a robber. Folks, I want you to know something. If you ever choose anything this world has to offer over Christ Jesus as your Lord and your God, you've chosen Barabbas. You've chosen a robber. The Bible says it like this, Pilate speaking. In verse 22, he says, what shall I do then with Jesus? And today, I want you to ask that question to yourself. What shall I do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? You see, what you do with Jesus is the most important matter you'll ever take care of on this earth. Because Jesus is the only option that any human has ever had for everlasting life through faith in Christ. Don't take my word for it. Jesus said it of himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't take my word for it. Jesus said it himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today's message is titled this, What Shall I Do with Jesus? What shall I do with Jesus? I want you to look with me as we begin this message, and we're going to look at three characters or groups of characters. The first character we want to see is Judas. The second group of characters is the chief priests and elders. And thirdly, we're going to take a look at Pilate. What did they do with Jesus? That's the question. What did they do with Jesus? Number one, Judas used Jesus for worldly advantage. Judas used Jesus for worldly advantage. Now, I'll have you know something. There's great earthly advantage to being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, if you'll be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your wife will be thankful. If you'll be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your children will be grateful. If you're a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a better citizen. You're a better person. You're a better friend. You see, there's lots of advantage on this world to being a faithful follower of Jesus. Jesus said it himself. He says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus promised that if we'll put our faith and trust in him, we'll have eternal life, life, and we'll have life today on this earth more abundantly. But I want you to know something. If your motive for choosing Jesus is just earthly gain, you've made a terrible mistake. You see, the chief priests and elders, they had taken on religion for the purpose not of pleasing God, but for the purpose of political expedience and power on earth. And Judas, having been raised up around this Jewish system, and having met Christ, Judas saw a man that could do miracles. He saw a person that could lead multitudes of people. Judas saw somebody that literally had the power to shake the world. And Judas being the an entrepreneurial type guy, Judas being the kind of guy that says, hey, you know what? If I'm going to get in somebody's campaign, if I'm going to be associated with somebody, I want to be associated with somebody that's got that kind of power. We see Judas, he proved himself to be faithful. Judas was trustworthy. But Judas, as we understand, we see the whole picture about Judas unfold, we understand that Judas was the kind of guy that wanted earthly, worldly advantage through his connection with Jesus. Now, folks, don't attend church so that you can pad the profits in your business. Don't add a fish to your advertising so that somehow you can use Jesus as a tool. That's not what Jesus is for. And as a matter of fact, we should use him for his great purpose. He changes our lives. He gives us everlasting life. And there are advantages earthly to being a follower of Jesus Christ. But if that is your ultimate motive, you're going to find yourself very empty. What did Judas do? Judas began to see his hopes and dreams fall apart. Jesus in the upper room told of his pending death. Times previous, Jesus made clear and began to speak about the fact that he would be crucified, that he would rise again from the dead. And Judas was thinking, you know, I'm not really signed up for this. He says, I want Jesus to rise in authority. I want Jesus to lead the people in our day, in my lifetime, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, to overthrow Rome. I want Israel on the map. I want our nation to have power, political power. And I want to be right at the right hand of Jesus when he's ruling as king, until he lives out his life and dies a normal death like a man. But he failed to realize that Jesus' great ambition was not to shake the known world at that moment during Judas' lifetime. Jesus' greatest ambition was to pay the price for the sins of the whole world for all the ages. The work that Jesus wanted to do was something far greater than what this little world and the little world that Judas had was so engulfed in had to offer. As a matter of fact, when Judas begins to churn his soul, realizing that Jesus isn't going to offer him everything that he had hoped for this world, he had chosen Jesus because Jesus was going to give him worldly advantage. That's what he thought. But when he begins to realize that his connection to Christ was not going to be, it was not going to be advantageous for his promotion in society, he turns back to the chief priests and elders. He turns back to the religious mob leaders of the day. These evil people who want to put Jesus to death because of envy. And it ends up very devastating and awful for Judas. Look what the Bible says in verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now what happened? Now Judas had a plan. Do you know that there were other times in Judas' experience living and serving around Jesus that Judas had watched Jesus avoid his persecutors in miraculous ways? And I believe that Judas had this going on in his mind. He saw that Jesus was condemned. And he's like, oh man, my plan, it didn't work out. I believe that Judas had a plan. I think Judas' plan was, I'm not going to pad my bank account with my connection to Jesus by being a follower of Jesus. I might end up getting dead. I mean, he's thinking, I don't know, it'll be good. And Judas said, you know what? If I'm not going to make any money on him the loyal way, then I'll just make money on him by betraying him. That's fine. I mean, it's not like they're going to be able to do anything to him. This guy's amazing. He says, I'm going to betray him. I'm going to put my 30 pieces of silver in my pocket. I'm going to hit the road, and nobody's the worse. Jesus, he's just going to, he'll avoid the crowd. He'll avoid the condemnation. He'll just take his power and wave his wand or whatever he does, and he'll have his way. It'll be fine. But then Judas realizes, oh man, my plan's not working out. And Judas even knows, hey, look, he's innocent. He's innocent. And I've betrayed him. So what does Judas do? Judas, the Bible says, repents himself. He just feels bad about it. He feels guilty. He doesn't confess his sin to the Lord. He doesn't turn to Jesus. As a matter of fact, he repents himself. And he brings again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders and says, verse 4, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. That's your problem. What's he do? Does Judas repent and go to Jesus and say, Lord, please forgive me, I've been wrong? No. Judas is still looking for political expedience. He sees that, oh man, I betrayed Jesus. He's innocent. But it looks to me like Jesus is going to get crucified. So if I'm going to have power, I'm going to have any type of luxury, I need some people that I can trust in. He goes and repents himself to the chief priests and elders. He's like, here, have your money back. He just wants back in. Here, have your money. Man, my plan was a total failure. Maybe I can buy my way back in. Maybe I can buy my way into favor with these guys because it appears they had more power at this moment than Jesus. Do you know what kind of person Judas was? Judas was the kind of person that would use anybody he could use to get what he wanted on this earth. But I want you to know something. If you live an unprincipled life, you end an empty person. Stand up for truth. Don't stand up with whoever has the loudest mouth. Stand up for what's right. Instead of standing up for whoever seems to be able to stroke your pride or pad your pocket. Stand up for truth. Do you know what Judas did? Judas chose Jesus for worldly advantage. What happened to him? Judas is like, well, if I can't trust in Jesus, which he could have. As a matter of fact, Jesus had just told him the night before when he betrayed him, Jesus called Judas friend. And at any moment, I am confident that Judas could have genuinely repented to Christ of his sins and put his faith in Christ, and Jesus would have forgiven him. But Judas has still got his eyes fixed on what he can get in life and what the world has to offer. And he goes back to the chief priests and he goes back to these folks. And he says, here's my money. Here, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with this. And what did they say? Did they welcome him with loving arms and say, hey, buddy, come on back. It's okay. We love you anyway. We'll take care of you. No. Here's what they said. And they gave Judas what the world always gives. They said, what is that to us? He said, what difference does that make to us? We don't care if you live or die. And he says, see thou to that. They say, that's your problem. See thou, that's your problem. We don't care about you. I want you to know something. If you choose Jesus for Jesus' sake, he'll always forgive you. He'll always love you. He'll always accept you. But I want you to know something. If you choose the world over Christ, you'll find something empty. What did Judas do? It's awful what Judas did. It's awful. Judas had that money in his hand. He thought, if I could just have some money, then I'll be happy. You know what happened when he got the money? It was like a plague in his possession. He couldn't wait to get rid of it. Judas gave the money back. And the Bible says he went out and hanged himself. Folks, that is never the answer. Suicide is never the answer. Judas made a terrible mistake. You know what Peter did? Peter had denied Christ 3 times. He had cursed the name of God. I mean, he had done the most awful things. Peter had done the most awful things. You know what Peter did in the last verse, the previous chapter? He went out and wept bitterly. He turned back to God. The first chance he got to be at the feet of Jesus, he was there. You know what he found? Forgiveness. You know what God did? God used his life for an eternal purpose. And I want you to know something. If you found yourself in a spot so low, you've tried to get this from the world, you've tried to have prestige, and it seems like everywhere you've turned, you've failed, and you've even contemplated even taking your own life, I want you to know something. That is not the answer. There is great hope for you. Turn to Jesus. You know what you'll find? You'll find a friend of sinners. Turn to Christ. You know what you'll get? Forgiveness of sin. Dedicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in His Word. You know what you'll have? You'll have peace in your heart. You'll have fulfillment. You'll have purpose. Irregardless of your past, if you'll put your trust in Jesus and you'll choose Jesus for Jesus' sake. What shall I do with Jesus? I'll tell you what you should do with Jesus. You should repent of your sin and turn to faith in Him. And you'll find love and acceptance and peace and purpose. You know what you'll find? A reason to live. You know what? Peter was devastated. He'd really messed up. But you know what Peter found when he turned to Christ? A reason to live. He found an opportunity to serve. He found peace with God and forgiveness. You know what Judas found when he turned to the chief priests in the world? Emptiness. Cold-hearted. Emptiness. He took his own life. Why did Judas choose Jesus? Judas chose Jesus for worldly advantage. Don't be guilty of the same. Look at the second thing. What shall I do with Jesus? The chief priest opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. Judas used Jesus. The chief priest opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. Why was the chief priest? Why were the Pharisees and the chief priests, the elders, the Sadducees, all the leaders of the Jewish religion, and the Jewish culture at that time, why were they so in opposition to Jesus? They were in such opposition to Jesus because if they turned to Jesus, they had to let go of their earthly possessions and power and turn to Jesus and depend on Jesus to give them what they wanted. What they didn't realize is what they had was nothing. What they could have in Christ was everything. But they opposed Jesus. Why? For worldly advantage. They were awful. Look what the Bible says in verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus. Over and over again, as I've read this verse of Scripture, those two little words, against Jesus, has jumped off the page of me. I want you to know something. If you are living your life in any area of your life, anything about your life, you're living against Jesus, you are not doing yourself any justice. As a matter of fact, you're hurting yourself. The chief priest said, if we choose Jesus as opposed to Barabbas, we're going to lose our power. And that's a lie that the devil sells. You have this thought. I know that what I do is against Jesus, but it makes me happy. Wrong. The devil has sold you a bill of goods. It's not true. Anything against Jesus does not make you happy. It does not make you better. It does not make you more wealthy. It doesn't make you more joyful. Anything against Jesus, no matter what lie the devil may sell you, it produces emptiness and pain. What did they do? They opposed Jesus for worldly advantage, but they said, let's just counsel together against Jesus. What do they want to do? They want to put Him to death. They want to put Him to death. Isn't that awful? Can you imagine justifying in your heart, I want this so bad that I'm willing to put an innocent man to death? It's wicked. It's wicked to choose against Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 2, when they had bound Him, they led Him away and delivered Him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. They couldn't get what they wanted according to the Jewish law, and so they went to Pontius Pilate. They turned it over to the world. If they had any testimony of godliness, they lost it as soon as they went to the presence of old Pontius Pilate. By the way, if you live for the flesh, the world, and still claim the name of Jesus, oh, what damage we often do to the cause and the name of Christ because of our hypocrisy. Don't be guilty of that. That's what they did. The Bible says in verse 6, the chief priest took the silver pieces. Now, Judas has thrown his 30 pieces of silver into the temple. And now the chief priest take the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. Now, here's what they're trying to do. I'm just talking to you about the chief priest. The chief priest opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. They stood against Jesus. But they do things that just make no sense at all. They go to Rome for judgment. Then look what they do here in this passage of Scripture. Judas has dropped his 30 pieces of silver and went out and hanged himself. And the chief priests, they go back into the temple court and they pick up the 30 pieces and then they counsel together. They say, now what are we going to do with this money? Now here's what's ironic about it. They say, one of them says, well, I'll just put it back in the treasury. Put it back in the temple treasury. Let's put it there. And one of the chief priests has the audacity to say, oh, no, we can't do that. It's against the law. The very people who are trying to put an innocent man to death are still, in some form or fashion, adhering to their empty religious law. Isn't that silly? Jesus spoke about this. He says, you'll swallow a camel and strain at a gnat. And these people, you know what their religion had got them so messed up in their minds that they were worried about putting 30 pieces of silver into the treasury because it was illegal according to God's law. Yet, they were going to put an innocent man to death. Yet, they had just scorned a man who had come to them needing help. Yet, they were going to lead a whole mob of people to choose a robber criminal instead of Christ. What'd they do? They opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. The Bible says in verse 7, they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in it. You know what they did? They did what lots of really guilty folks have a tendency to do. They said, I tell you what we'll do. We'll buy, with this money, we'll buy a field and will bury strangers in it. We'll buy a field and we'll bury strangers in it. They said, let's just put this money, this 30 pieces of silver, this rotten, bloody money, let's put it into charity. How about that? Isn't that awful? The inconsistency of these people and the wickedness of their heart is awful. To try to appease their conscience, they take that bloody money and they put it into charity. It didn't help. It didn't work. As a matter of fact, the reputation of that place remains, according to the Scriptures, unto this day. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood. And this Matthew says, now look, they may have purchased it as a beautiful cemetery, as a big-hearted gesture to help foreigners have a place to be buried respectfully. People who die as they pass through. He said they may have tried to do something that was charitable and beautiful, but it's still, and Matthew writing, the day that I'm living right this moment, he says it's still known as the field of blood. What did they do? They were just empty and awful. The chief priest, look what the Bible says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, Jeremiah said it, Zechariah recorded it. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. What did Matthew want us to understand and remember? These guys, they may have thought, we're going to oppose Jesus in our religious pride and pompous arrogance. We're going to do our thing. We're going to do our charity. We're going to do our work. We're going to deceive and crucify Christ. But Matthew wanted us to know, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, all those guys did was exactly what God's Word said they do. I want you to understand something, people. You may be in this category. There may be aspects of your life that you try to use your religion for some type of power or gain. And you oppose Christ, you oppose truth, and you choose your religion or your standing or your belief or your political position, or you use that for your, and you oppose Christ for yourself, for worldly gain. Matthew wants to tell you something. God's Word will come true. God's Word will be fulfilled. God's Word will be honored. God will keep His Word. And as God's Word says, the wages of sin is death. As God's Word says, the appointed man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. God's Word will be fulfilled. Oh, I pray you'll choose Jesus. The chief priest opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. So many things just continue to jump off the page as we look at these people. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor. The governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, thou say. He says, yes, I am. That's what you say. It's true. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. What are these chief priests doing? Are they watching Jesus? Are they trying to come to truth? As every chance they get, they accuse him. They accuse him. They accuse him. They accuse him. The Bible says in verse 20, the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. What did the chief priests and elders do? They didn't care about this mob of people. All they said, they wanted this mob of people just to do their bidding. And they led a whole group of people away. They said, ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21, the governor answered, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What did they say? Let him be crucified. The governor said, what evil hath he done? They didn't care what evil he'd done. They cried again, let him be crucified. Verse 25, he answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Isn't it awful? Oh, you know something. The chief priests opposed Jesus for worldly advantage. And it's been awful. Pilate, number 3. Now, Pilate's a different kind of guy. Pilate is a respectable kind of fellow. Over and over again, I'd like for you to notice, you can do it yourself, but notice every time that the Bible refers to him as the governor. Now, Pilate was no ordinary guy. He was powerful. He was the governor. As a matter of fact, we see Pilate has some respect for, and a little common sense. He has some respect for Jesus and a little common sense. He says, he calls him the Christ. He understands that the chief priests and elders are just jealous of him. He regards Jesus greatly, so much so that he just knows that if I give him a choice between Barabbas and Jesus, sure they'll choose Jesus. I mean, this guy's pretty amazing. The Bible says he marvels at him. At the conclusion of this passage of Scripture, Pilate says he's just. He's not anything wrong. He doesn't deserve to die. What's Pilate do? Pilate, he doesn't choose. See, Judas, what did he chose Jesus. Why? Because he wanted a worldly advantage. Then the chief priests and elders, they opposed Jesus. Why? For worldly advantage. But you know what Pilate does? You can see it. He's gone through this trial and he's heard the jealousy and envy of the chief priests. He's heard the testimony of Christ. And it's almost like he steps back and he says, as a matter of fact, he does like he washes his hands. He says, I just want everybody to know that I am clean of the blood of this man. What does he do? He avoids Jesus. Why? For worldly advantage. He's not going to stand up for him. He's just going to avoid him. And I don't want anything to do with this. And then Pilate has this silly notion that if somehow, for some reason, I'll just take my hands off the situation and do nothing with Jesus and keep my mouth quiet, then if I just do nothing with Jesus, everything will be all right and I'll have worldly advantage. He doesn't want to stir the pot and make the Jews have an uproar and a ruckus. And he comes up with this weak, anemic plan to put Barabbas and Jesus side by side, and surely they'll pick Barabbas. That bit him. He says, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm not going to say a word. The old song says, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. What are you going to do with Jesus? You know what Pilate said? I don't do anything. He felt like if somehow he could do some ritualistic washing, that would make him wrong. Judas chose him for worldly gain. Scribes and Pharisees, chief priests, opposed him for worldly gain. Pilate avoided him for worldly gain. And I want you to know something. They all lost. They all lost. So what do I need to do, preacher? Well, I'll just tell you. God's given you a choice. Today, right now, you can choose Barabbas, a robber, or you can choose Jesus, a Savior. You see, when we put our faith and trust in Christ for our soul salvation, not so we can have some worldly advantage. I'm talking about repenting of your sin, turning to faith in Christ, believing in Jesus and Jesus alone for your soul salvation, declaring your allegiance to God and His Word, determining to live a principled life that pleases the Lord, and leaving the results up to Him. When you let God make the choices for you by obeying His Word, you unlock the blessing and power of God. Rest in Him. Rest in a loving Creator. Rest in a loving Father. Rest in God Almighty. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus for Jesus' sake. And I want you to know something. Not only will you have life everlasting, but you'll have in this world exactly what you need and what your soul longs for, but you don't know how to get. How many of you have ever gone after something and when you got it, you found it wasn't as fulfilling and satisfactory as you'd hoped? How many of you have gone after something and when you got it, you wish you didn't have it anymore? And I want you to know that's what the devil tells you. The devil tells you, if I get saved, then I won't be able to do what I want to do. And I won't be happy anymore. I want you to know something. If you get saved, there'll be things you used to do you don't want to do anymore. And not only will you be happy, you'll have peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction. And God will give you everything that your heart longs for, but you don't know how to get. I don't know how to make me happy, but God does. I don't know how to make me satisfied, but God does. Oh, I pray you'll trust Jesus. Now, Barabbas, as I close. Barabbas. Now, I'm not telling you that Barabbas got saved, but there's a beautiful picture of what goes on with Barabbas that looks a lot like you and I. Imagine it with me. I'm going to give these guys the camera fit. Follow me around here. Can you keep up, guys? Yeah, good work. Barabbas. What's Barabbas doing? Jesus is on trial. He's standing before Pilate, the chief priests and elders. They're mobbing. They're awful. What's Barabbas doing? Barabbas is a robber. There's some evidence that he was a murderer. He was a notable criminal. Everybody hated Barabbas. Barabbas was terrible. Barabbas was guilty as charged, and Barabbas was condemned to death forever. And Barabbas is sitting in prison. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what Jesus is facing. He doesn't know what Jesus is about to do. But Jesus does. Barabbas is in prison. The trial's going on. The crowd says, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus." And I want you to know something. Jesus goes to the cross, and Barabbas, who is guilty and deserves to die on the cross, because Jesus is crucified, Barabbas walks free and lives. Now, I want you to know this. I'm not telling you that Barabbas got saved, but I want to tell you something. I am a Barabbas. My sin deserves punishment. I am guilty. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on the cross for my sins. And because Jesus went to the cross, because Jesus was buried, and 3 days later rose again from the dead, because Jesus went to the cross, Cody Sturgill gets to walk out of prison and avoid the death penalty, free and clear, because Jesus paid the price for my sins. You see, the law says you are guilty, but grace says your sin has been paid for. Jesus died on the cross. I heard this story from a preacher, Brian McBride, just yesterday. I was listening to him preach, and he tells the story of a native tribe. The chief of that tribe, and I don't know exactly how true the story is, but it makes a good point. Listen, I think you'll appreciate it. The chief of this tribe was dealing with a problem. Someone in the tribe was stealing. Things were missing. So the chief stands before the tribe of people and he says, "You must confess. Whoever is stealing, you must confess. We'll not put up with this. If you'll confess today and restore the goods, we'll forgive you." A week passed, and no one confessed. So every week that passed, the chief of the tribe added to the budget. For the first week, he said, if you'll confess, you can receive a simple, a light punishment, 5 stripes. The next week, 10. At this point, if we catch you, it'll be 15. The next week, the punishment gets worse and worse. 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. It went all the way up to 50. And finally, the townspeople and the chief of the tribe found out who it was that had been stealing. You know who it turned out to be? It turned out to be the chief's elderly mother. Now, everybody knew that the chief's elderly mother's no way that she could stand to be tied to a post and whipped 50 lashes. She'd never be able to stand it. And so the talk of the tribe is the day of her punishment was approaching. Will the chief let it happen? Will law win out or will grace? Will law win out or will grace? The day of the punishment. The chief oversaw the whipping. His mother's tied to the post. The sentence is made, 50 lashes. And just before the man commissioned to give the punishment took his first swing, the chief's mother. The chief took off his coat, and freely wrapped himself around his guilty mother and took the lashes for her. 50 of them. Who won? Law and grace. Folks, I want you to know something. Barabbas got up and walked out of prison who deserved to die. Why? Because Jesus satisfied all the demands of the law. And Jesus offered grace and mercy to lost sinners. I'm that Barabbas. And I'm not going to choose Jesus like Judas because I want some worldly gain. Hey, look, there's a lot more to Christ than this earth and this life. As a matter of fact, this life is just the beginning. It's the kindergarten phase of eternity. I'm not going to choose Jesus just because it gives me worldly profit. And I'm not going to oppose Jesus because I could get some worldly gain. I'm going to accept Christ and make Him my God and my King. Why? Because He paid the price for my sins. And through faith in Jesus, and Jesus Christ alone, I can have everlasting life. Will you choose the Lord? He made it possible that you could have everlasting life. Let me tell you something very simple. God loves you. As much as God loves you, you're still a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And your sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is death. You can pay for it yourself. For all of eternity, separated from God in hell. Or you can accept the free gift that Jesus gives and gave on the cross of Calvary. Sin must be paid for, but God paid the price for your sins when He sent Jesus to die on the cross. How do I receive it? You personally pray and receive Christ by faith as your Savior. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says with the heart, man believes into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Do you believe in your heart? Confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Put your trust in Him. Choose Him for the right reason. You know what you're going to get? You get all the advantage and glory that a loving Father, Creator God, can give His children. To have Jesus for Jesus' sake is the greatest thing you could ever have. Choose Christ.